This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We have a depth chart, the official, unofficial Denver Broncos depth chart ahead of tomorrow's preseason game. We'll talk about that later on in the program. Rockies win the series. Started off miserably for them, but they end up winning the series. Got off the schneid of a bad streak of losing in Arizona and in the National League West on the road. Kevin Lytle's going to join us, talk some Rams. We got a CSU Ring of Fame update. Top stories of the day. WNBA's in there, of course. Clip of the day. It's a cool one to me. This one means a lot to me. Pac-12 glance. And LSU, Jaden Daniels in the news. The whole show starts right now. Broncos to start us off here on a Thursday morning. Welcome into the whole show. I am Brady Hull. We do have the depth chart out. I want to get to that. A couple of bigger notes on the depth chart. Michael, Bo Nix will not play tomorrow. And I'm like, I get why people really want to see him play because it's Davis Webb and you want to see how that works. Jalen Waddle connection, all of that. And Sean Payton, of course, said if this were a regular season game, there would be no issue. People are going to freak out about that because that's what we're doing around this whole Bo Nix ankle thing. I think it's totally fine. There's a lot of coaches that just don't mess with the preseason much. And if there's even a question about your health, I mean, even the smallest question, why risk it? Now, you could... To play devil's advocate, you could say, well, he's just as likely to get hurt in that first game of the season. Well, give him another couple of weeks. I don't know if we'll see him in the preseason at all. We might see him in that game too. But for now, we know he's not playing. So that was kind of a big update on the depth chart. Jonathan Cooper will play in the preseason opener against the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, that's a choice. Now, our Broncos insider, Benjamin Albright, was with us a couple weeks ago saying that it sounds to him and maybe a lot of the people that are in the know within this Broncos organization that it was a rough conflict between Cooper and his girlfriend, but maybe there's more information coming out that the Broncos are privy to that we don't have, which is why Denver's been comfortable with him being all in at training camp and apparently playing tomorrow night. So interesting choice there. So here is the official Broncos depth chart ahead of the game tomorrow. Again, Bo Nix not playing, but this is just what it looks like. Bo Nix, Jarrett Stidham as the backup quarterback. No surprises there. They are, as of right now, carrying Sam Ehlinger as the third string quarterback. J.K. Dobbins, number one running back, R.J. Harvey, number two. Now, don't look into this, Mike, but Jonah Coleman is listed as the sixth running back, but that is because he is a rookie. All rookies are moved to the bottom of the depth chart until proven otherwise, I suppose. So J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey will be at two. Tyler Bidet will be the third running back. Jaleel McLaughlin, Cody Schrader, and then Jonah Coleman. But once we get into the season, my guess is Jonah Coleman will be inserted into that third spot. And based on our conversation yesterday with Sean Keeler, there's a good chance it won't necessarily look like 1-2-3 for the Broncos, but expect Jonah Coleman to get a lot of those. You know, if it's not J.K. Dobbins and it's third and inches, it might be, if it's not J.K., it's going to be Jonah. R.J. Harvey probably still going to be used primarily in the pass game. We'll see. We'll see how he, how RJ adjusts to year two. And he's got a tricky, he's got a tricky background already, because he gets a lot of flack because of his vision, his running back vision. Maybe not as great as you'd want it to be, but again, a rookie. But he also was a touchdown machine. Had a lot of rushing touchdowns and a lot of receiving touchdowns last year. At the wide receiver position, Cortland Sutton and Jaylen Waddle. No surprise there. Backing up Sutton, not that that necessarily matters, but Pat Bryant, I would imagine, will be the third option at wide receiver. And also, well, no, this is what's interesting. If they're going with, again, depth chart just depends on what kind of formation, but if they're lining up three wide receivers, according to this depth chart, it's Cortland Sutton, Jaylen Waddle, Marvin Mims Jr. Troy Franklin as a backup, little Jordan Humphrey as a backup, and Pat Bryant as a backup. Hakeem Butler as a third guy, and Troy Franklin and Michael Bandy.
Do they keep six receivers?
Who we got? So we got Sutton, we got Waddle, we got Pat Bryant, probably Marvin Mims Jr., little Jordan Humphrey is a survivor, and Troy Franklin. Who goes of that group? Sean Payton loves him some little Jordan Humphrey. You're not giving up on Troy Franklin yet.
And he has a good rapport with Bo.
Yeah. I think maybe. You know, and they like to throw the ball.
I think they keep six
receivers. How many running backs are they keeping?
Three. Got to keep at least three.
Well, well, and you got Adam Prentice at fullback. So they'll probably keep four if you include fullback. So at least three at running back. So J.K., R.J., and Jonah, who doesn't make it? Tyler Bidet or Jaleel McLaughlin? Do you carry four? Do you carry five guys? You're
no,
not carrying five
not
if
in
you're
this day and age.
If you're going to carry six receivers, you're not going to carry five running backs, especially if you already if you have a fullback in Adam Prentice, which I don't believe they have any interest in moving on there. That will be an interesting one to watch out for. Tight end position. Does Caleb Lohner make the team? Because you got Evan Ingram, Adam Trautman, clear, right? Then Nate Adkins, Lucas Kroll, and then Caleb Lohner. Sean Payton talks highly of Lohner, but again, he didn't play a lot in college. He was a basketball player. Didn't see him at all last year, did we? But he looks the part, and Sean Payton speaks highly of him, so I'll be curious. These are all guys you want to watch out for. Like, Caleb Lohner will probably be a big part of tomorrow, I would imagine. Jonah Coleman will probably be a big part of tomorrow. Yeah, it's going to get real interesting to see who makes. And it's not like this is a crazy 53-man watch like some teams are experiencing. But it is definitely, there are definitely some positions here where we have to take a look and see just who's going to make it on this depth chart overall. So very interesting to follow along with that. But the biggest notes from yesterday have to be that Bo Nix is not playing. Jonathan Cooper. Wow. Got Jonah Coleman on the brain, Mike. Jonathan Cooper will play. Do we agree with Jonathan Cooper playing tomorrow? I get it. I from the information that we've been given lately, it does seem like the Broncos have information that we don't have, that even the Denver Post didn't have, or just more information. Is it a good idea to put Jonathan Cooper out there?
Yes. If the Broncos have information and the rest of us have a question mark, because I'm now questioning a lot of what I said earlier. If the Broncos have a certain amount of information that we don't have, if it was more, you know, before that interview with the insider, more like you and me going, oh, this is a bad situation.
Well, based on
what
we read from the Post and the forensic nurse, right? It said it did appear that she was strangled and it's going to have long-term repercussions for her. Based on that information, I would say I don't even want him at camp. But then they put him at camp. We talked to Albright and he tells us, yeah, I mean, honestly, from what I'm hearing, it just sounds like more of a really physical, nasty altercation, biting of the phone and stuff. But how do we explain what the nurse found as far as a strangulation look? I mean, that's what all questions still need to be answered.
I mean, maybe they got a second opinion. I don't know.
The perception is still kind of odd, though, because we don't know yet. And this is, you know, again, keep in mind, Jonathan Cooper's attorney wanted this to go to trial. He doesn't want it to be settled. He wants it to go to trial. So he's very confident. That, to me, means he's very confident that Cooper's side of the story will prevail.
And maybe the lawyer is why the Broncos are playing him.
They've got something that we don't know.
And you know what? With this situation, there are still question marks, but it seems like with the Broncos having more information, I'd want to get him on the field to keep him from being distracted.
Yeah, but because there is no new information that's out to the public, it's just an odd look. But let's just look at it through the football lens. Why is the preseason important? Why is training camp important? Because obviously it's important because you got to get these guys geared up. All the terminology, the physical output, the connectiveness with your teammates, all that stuff is important. And if you just said to one of your he's one of their big players, he's one of their big guys, to just say we're not gonna use you and we'll just insert you game one once we know more, well, that puts your team in jeopardy. Now, if the Broncos had real concrete information that was bad, you would hope that they would say, football side of it be damned, we have to do the right thing here and distance ourselves from Jonathan Cooper. But clearly that's not the case. So I just thought that was an interesting note that he will in fact play tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would be worried if they cut him from the team, I'd be like, oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, then we know
keeping
something
him
bad.
out of camp, that doesn't look good. Keeping him off the roster, not allowing him to play, doesn't look as bad, but still bad.
I'm really interested to see how they explain the strangulation marks. If this forensic nurse is good at her job, or did she just see something wrong? Was there a physical altercation going on, and then Cooper maybe to push her away? Because what did he say? He like used his shoulder to kind of push her away from trying to grab his phone, and then maybe he turns around and swats her in the neck, and it's a mark. And the nurse was mistaken, and I don't know how you mistake, like, you know, a hit wound, a hit bruise compared to a strangulation bruise. I don't know.
I'll leave that to the experts. Well,
that's what we're told from an expert, right? We've already heard that. But then the Broncos, by this, even though they haven't made an official statement on this, they have, as far as why he's playing, and they're listening to him and such, they're still making a statement by playing him. The statement is, today, I believe, the Broncos believe, Jonathan Cooper is, for the most part, innocent in this. Not innocent, you know, but not as guilty as first appeared. So that's one of the big takeaways from this depth chart. Defensive side of things, no big shockers here. You've got Malcolm Roach at defensive end on the opposite Zach Allen. DJ Jones at nose tackle, Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, Alex Singleton, and Justin Sternad in the middle. Red Murdoch, being a rookie, is going to be listed way back in the depth chart, but we'll probably see us a lot of Red Murdoch tomorrow, Michael.
Really rooting for him.
Yeah, we'll get into that. You know,
he and Jonah are probably right now. I always choose preseason favorites, like just by watching the game and seeing how great people are.
Who are you targeting?
He's probably going to be one of my preseason.
Is Red Murdoch the guy you're targeting tomorrow as far as the guy you're most interested to see?
I would like to see if he can make the team.
Tomorrow night, who are you like the most interested to watch play football tomorrow night?
That's an interesting question because
I would say it's Red Murdoch, Jonathan, or Jonathan Cooper, Jonah Coleman. It's the JC thing. It's confusing me. That's just messing with me. John A. Barron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's probably going to get a lot of action tomorrow.
I mean, he didn't play a lot last year, but when he did play, he made a few plays. Yeah, I kind of forgot about him.
Well, that's
I don't think he wins the number two.
No, he's battling for playing time. Because I think Patrick Surtain, Riley Moss, Jaquan McMillan, I don't think you're messing with that. I think those guys, that Jaquan's your nickelback.
When you get to
Riley Moss, Pastor
you get
Tan,
to the dime package, though, who's,
yeah,
it
who's that
be?
Guy? Is it Chris Abrams Drain? Is it Reese Taylor? That'll be the question. So Jahdae Barron, probably one I'm more interested to see because he was a first round pick. The Broncos selected him last year in the first round at pick number 20, right?
And we haven't had any, you know, we haven't heard his name, not in a good way. But I think if you're a first round pick, if you're that talented, even if you didn't play that much, even if you didn't get your name called that much, you do get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, so so I'd say those three, probably Jahdae Barron, Jonah Coleman, and Red Murdoch. I would say those are the three you should probably circle and pay attention to tomorrow. The running back position, too. That's part of Jonah Coleman, is to see, I mean, does a guy like Tyler Bidet or Jaleel McLaughlin, who I feel like both those guys have just kind of been hanging on, you know, I think one of those guys has to make an impression in the preseason to justify carrying four tailbacks. Because then if you carry four tailbacks, you've got five because you're carrying Adam Prentice, too. So you got five running backs. 21 minutes after the hour. Michael, we're going to take a short break here. The Rockies get the series win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. 4 million walks, though, and they somehow survive that game. So they win the series, which was refreshing because it's been a struggle bus, really, since the trade deadline for the Rocks, but getting back on the winning side of things yesterday. A legend of the game retires, and a former Nugget had a cup of coffee with the Nuggets. We'll talk about that, too, and this Jaden Daniels LSU story. Wow. I think it's an entitled thing. We'll get to it. Kevin Lytle going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Let's talk some Colorado State Rams, see if he's any closer to picking who he believes is going to be the starting quarterback for CSU. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
All championship dreams start with training camp. KFKA shines a spotlight on the Roosevelt Rough Riders live tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by A-Plus Heating and AC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, shout out to Big City Roadhouse. They got breakfast burritos going until noon today, but if you're not in the breakfast burrito market right now, you got to try the burgers there. Their gourmet mac and cheese is ridiculous. Man, the list goes on and on. Best place to watch a game, too. Eastside Chris texting in. Who's at center? Well, good catch, Mike. There was a sneeze there. There was a sneeze. That was a good catch. Did you get it? You got that?
I think so.
Look at you go, man. That's Hall
of
Fame right there.
Might have gotten the beginning of the sneeze.
That's all right. You got the most of it. Well, Luke Wattenberg is at center, and then he's been banged up. Is he going to play? Alex Forsythe and then Michael Dieter are the centers on the depth chart. They might be careful. Now, here's what we know, too, about Bo Nix is he's traveling. Typically, when they travel, that means they're not, like, on the injured list, Michael, and that's clear. You know, he's not on the injured list, and that's important because there are a lot of media outlets that said, you know, like, J.K. Dobbins injured. I don't know if J.K. will play. I don't know if we'll see him much, but he's not injured. Got to get that terminology right. Injured means you're out. Injured means you're out for a bit.
Yeah.
Hobbled, hurt, out for practice. That means...
Is he probable?
That means rest day. That means, hey, we'd rather just not push it. It's the preseason. We all have different ideas of how this thing goes now. So
Unless the injury is serious,
yeah.
I don't know how much I trust preseason injury updates.
If you see player injured, be careful. That's all I'm going to say. Be careful.
Yeah, you gotta,
they're trying to get you.
You got to look at the official every team releases this because this is an NFL rule. But like, did this player play this game? This game? This game? Why didn't they play? Sometimes it's illness. Sometimes they're projected. They're like out. Sometimes they're game time decisions. sometimes they're just banged up and they're probable. Everybody's, so many players are probable.
Just stuff to watch out for. Smitty says, I'm interested to see how much McMillan plays. If he plays a lot, does it mean they'll extend, trade, or play him? He's conceivably taking snaps from Barron. No, he's their guy. They like him. Now, they're going to have to make a decision, Mike, because Riley Moss and McMillan are going to come up around the same time for contract extensions. So, yeah, are both of those guys going to be long-term Broncos? Maybe. McMillan was asked about that, and he said, yeah, I'm not going to talk about contract stuff, but I love Denver. I make sense here, basically.
Yeah, I think that if anyone is trying out for a roster spot on another team, that'd be Jade.
And they want him to work out. Because he's still on his rookie contract. So they definitely, in the perfect scenario, even though they like Jaquan McMillan, they would rather, you know, financially, they would rather Jade Barron be better. That's just how it works. Plus, you drafted him in the first round. You don't want that to be a flop. You don't want that to go in your ledger as a bad draft pick. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Preseason game tomorrow for the Denver Broncos. Excited for that one on a Friday night. Michael, coming up, though, we're getting dangerously close to that first game. The Border War will be the first game of the season for the CSU Rams. Kevin Lytle's going to talk to us in a moment. Now, I know Jim Mora already said you're not going to know, at least according to him, who the starting quarterback is until kickoff of that game. But Kevin's been out of practice every single day. And I was out there the other day, and we'll see how he views the quarterback position if he had to make a guess as to who's going to start for Colorado State. Also, some Ring of Honor updates for CSU, some very notable football players on this list. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back into the whole show, talking all things Colorado State Rams with Kevin Lytle of the Colorado. And these appearances of Kevin, of course, and Rams Weekly starting up, I believe, next week, are brought to you by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Kevin, my friend, the quarterback competition is heating up. That seems to be the big question on everyone's mind. I want to get to some questions for you later on, but obviously we got to start with the quarterback situation, Haas Haney, and are we officially, how are we saying, Kason or Kason? How are we saying that, Kevin?
Well, I come to you with breaking news because I just interviewed both of the quarterbacks, and it is Kason.
And Kevin, I continue to struggle. I'm saying Farrar. How are you? I want to get into it, though. Farrar. I want to do that, but how are you saying it?
You just want to make it aggressive.
I do. It's fun.
Kason Farrar.
Farrar. See, that's
it's
not
almost
as fun.
Like a Ferrari. Just drop the E at the end.
I think that's kind of a good nickname.
The E sound. Yeah. honestly, that'd be pretty cool.
I think so.
You know, a long touchdown run, Ferrari. Yep.
I think that's part of the reason he should be the starting quarterback, and I think Jim Mora needs to consider
that. If that happens, I'm 100% stealing that from you now.
That's okay. I will sign off on that, Kevin, because Lord knows I've stolen enough stuff from you over the years. That's the big question, though. And I know Jim Mora, he already got to you, Kevin. You tried sneaking it in there, and he's like, hey, man, he pulled a Nick Saban on you. He's like, stop asking about it. Not really. He was more polite than that. But he's telling us we're not going to know for a while who that starting quarterback is.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. It's somewhat the game we play occasionally, and in interviews of, you know, you don't maybe ask the question directly, but you're hoping for an answer. And Jim Mora, obviously it's not his first rodeo. He understood. So I asked kind of generally about, hey, you had told us in spring that you were in no rush to name a quarterback. You know, is that just, you know, you like the competition that it brings? You know, sort of see where that leads. And yeah, he, you know, gave a great answer about the competition and then said, yeah, 4:02 p.m. on a border war day, he'll name the starter, you know, which is basically kickoff time. So yeah, he knew, you know, and to his credit, he gets it. He knows that that's a thing many and most fans want to know. But they're in no rush to name that person publicly. And I think at least right now, it is definitely a very real competition. It's not just lip service.
And it seems like, and again, you've been at every single practice. You've seen these guys. My brief stint out there on Tuesday, you know, again, it's not like this isn't deep insight, but from what I saw from both guys, pretty good. I mean, there was a couple of misdirection type plays from Haas Haney that looked cool. Kayson Farrar hit a deep ball later in practice. So there's all cool things going on with these guys, but based on your assessment so far, who are you leaning toward and what percentage would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the best thing for CSU is, you know, I've watched a lot of camps. I think you have two guys that you can win games with, which, you know, that's nice. That hasn't always been the case. It's tough because there are days where, you know, I think, oh, you know, Haas is definitely the guy. There are days where I think Kayson's the guy. You know, by play, I'd say it's pretty even. I keep, you know, you've asked me through summer, a lot of people have, and I keep saying that if I had to bet on who will be running out against Wyoming, I keep saying Haas Haney, and I'm going to keep saying that. And it's not because it's a clear winner right now. Just his dynamic athleticism, ability, you know, run ability in addition to the throwing, I just can't see that not being on the field right now. Ooh. Again, that may change. You know, Kayson might win that job, but right now, just how dynamic he is, I just can't convince myself that they won't pick that.
Kevin, are both quarterbacks, I mean, from what I see, you know, both mobile guys, but you specifically say Haas Haney might have more of that, you know, hot, nasty speed that we're looking for here on the whole show. As far as being that mobile quarterback, you'd give the nod to Haas Haney being better as far as that skill set.
Yeah, I know both are mobile and can extend plays, can run. Kayson, I mean, he's a good athlete. Like, there's no knock on him at all. Haas is just absolute dynamic speed. I mean, he may be one of the fastest guys on the team. Obviously, you know, they're not giving us the 40 times or anything, but he is very electric athletically. Kayson is a very athletic quarterback as well, can extend plays, can run. So, like, make no doubt, if he plays, he can make those plays with his legs or extending out of the pocket as well. But Haas is just a very dynamic athlete.
It's just an interesting, you know, dynamic between the two, because on one hand, you bring in a transfer. He was at Oklahoma State last year in Haas Haney, so you could go, okay, well, you bring a guy like that in for a reason. But also, Kayson Farrar, like, he was with Coach Mora last year. He's maybe, you know, a step ahead as far as terminology and knowing the offense. So, I mean, I guess there's reasons, there's cases to be made for both guys, but you probably do lean with, I would say, if you went out and you got this guy entering the portal to come over here, it would seem like maybe Haas Haney's going to be the guy. But again, you're saying you're leaning that way. We just have no clue.
Yeah. I don't think, and I will say, you know, when I interviewed Mora in spring, you know, I was kind of trying to ask about money and who, you know, not specifically who gets paid what, because obviously they're not going to share that, but kind of talking about the roster and money. And he basically said, I want, you know, obviously I have to know in some ways, but don't want know exactly or deal with exactly, which is, you know, similar to what Norvell said. And he said, I don't make depth chart decisions based on money. And sometimes from coaches, I feel like that's lip service. But with his background, I feel like at this stage in his career, why would he? I think Mora is a guy that is winning obsessed, and he'll pick who he thinks wins. So even if that were a mean, you know, maybe the guy they didn't originally think in spring, but someone beats him, I think they would probably go that way.
Isn't that an interesting concept now? In college, we are saying those kind of things, though. Like, hey, making a decision based on money. That is now where we are. We've been there for a bit, but it seems like it's just more prevalent now in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the analysis. I mean, we see that conversation kind of around pros of like, oh, you know, are they really going to let the undrafted guy take the spot of a first-round pick? Like, unlikely. You know, that's been a conversation around the NFL for forever. So now it's, yeah, that conversation in a slightly different way, but similarly happens around college programs of like, hey, we rallied the boosters to get an extra $200K for this guy. You know, can we actually sit him when we, you know, kind of rallied and got that money? It's, you know, it's real. It's a thing.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And Kevin, had a ton of questions, interest, whatever. I was sitting out at practice. I got there way too early, waiting for you to get there, and just so I can have somebody to talk to. And so I'm asking Rams fans, you know, what's your number one question, thought, concern, or interest about the 2026 Rams? Obviously, the quarterback position was one of those. Here's one I wanted to ask you, because me being out there for 30, 40 minutes the other day, I don't get any sense whatsoever. Got a question here. How are practices different with Mora? What's the biggest difference you've seen? Based on what I saw, it doesn't seem like that big of a difference overall, but you've been to every single practice. How much different is it, and what have you noticed that's kind of, you know, a different atmosphere?
Yeah, that's one I've gotten a lot as well. I think it's, yeah, it just speaks to the interest people have. I think there are a few things. One, I'd say it's pretty kind of pro style in how it's run. You know, I think you can see some of Mora's NFL influence. I would say the attention to detail, you know, details that maybe a lot of people wouldn't even really be considering, is really, really high. You know, another one, this is, you know, this is maybe on the other side a very simple one, but it is different than Jay of, you know, Jay was the offensive play caller. And so when they break into 11 on 11, you know, team drills, Jay was on the offensive side with a headset on with his, you know, looking at the play sheet. Whereas Jim Mora is always right in the middle of the field, talking to both sides. Like, he'll, you know, he'll yell at the defense, either, you know, suggestions, if you will, or, you know, he sometimes plays almost referee of like, oh, you know, third down, one time out left, things like that. But he's standing right in the middle, you know, kind of truly, literally overseeing the entire product and process, which, again, that's, you know, it's a kind of simple thing, but it is a big difference from the Norvell era.
Yeah, and I guess me as a football fan, like, I look at it and go, I can get behind a coach that has his nose buried in a playbook, and that can work, and that can be great. I think just as things wore on with Jay Norvell, the play calling controversy that hit before the season and then middle of the season, I think at that point I was just over it. So for CSU in this timeline, I'm actually really excited about that what you just said, that Mora's not really inside of a playbook. He's kind of all over the place. He's defensively, he's offensively. I think that's refreshing. Not to say Norvell's style or that coaching style is bad, but for CSU now, turning the page to a guy like this, that's one of the things I'm more interested in.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I said that during the Norvell era of, you know, a head coach being a play caller can work. I mean, it happens a lot.
Sure.
It was not rare. You know, what Jay was doing isn't unheard of. It just was not working for him in CSU. So it's not necessarily the process, is more the product. And so, yeah, I think that it, you know, that does feel like a positive change for CSU fans, certainly, of a lot of those details that felt like they slipped through the cracks are going to, you know, theoretically, they should be. I think they will be better. I mean, Mora has basically like a game manager that follows him to help with, you know, some of the analytical decision making in games of, you know, the numbers say this, or, you know, clock situations. So he's just very hyper detailed in, you know, some of those small margins that can, you know, swing a game.
Kevin, as far, I got like one or two here, time for maybe one or two. This one, I don't know how much you can get into, but this one coming in with essentially an entirely new roster, what can we expect on the field? Physicality, speed, what type of offense should we expect?
Yeah, very diverse in what they can do. I think they'll run well and run a decent bit, but that's going to be, you know, it's not I-form, ground, and pound. It's, you know, getting downhill with the running backs, but the quarterbacks are going to be part of that as well. So some options there. And then I think, you know, as far as passing game, they're going to shoot for some deep balls. You know, I think we're definitely going to see some bombs, but also a lot of diversity in what they can do of get it to a tight end or a quick receiver outside, things like that. Should be, if it all clicks, a pretty diverse offense in what it does.
Yeah, I'm interested, you know, to see what this ultimately looks
like. I think
it has
the ability, you know, if the O-line holds up, I think they have the ability to be a pretty good scoring team here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And it sounds like that matchup between CSU and Wyoming might have more of a mobile type of quarterback too, Kevin. So for me, like, this could be really fun with quarterbacks running all over the place.
Honestly, you know, CSU fans would probably be thrilled to have, kind of a shootout type of game at Canvas because, you know, to be blunt, there have been some kind of drab, boring ones over the last few years.
Yeah, I can't wait. Kevin, looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to the start of Rams Weekly. Again, thanks to our friends at Crazy Carl's Pizza. Kevin and I have spent a few moments there at Crazy Carl's. Great pizza, and the beer selection's not too bad either.
Absolutely. Always a good place for friendship time.
I like friendship time. Kevin, appreciate you as always, my man, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Brady.
The return of Kevin Lytle to Rams Weekly next Thursday, thanks to the one and only Crazy Carl's Pizza. They're back at it with us. So very excited about that. I'm just interested to learn more about what this is going to look like for CSU. And going off of our conversation yesterday, the whole if you got two quarterbacks, you got none thing, I mean, it just didn't work out with BFN, man. That whole idea that, hey, he was given the keys, and once he was given the keys, there was never any question as to who's going to be the starting quarterback. Even when he would have some rough games, it was always about BFN until finally it wasn't. But that didn't work out so well. And bottom line is, it sounds like you have two capable guys that can run the type of offense that Jim Mora wants to have run. And we'll see. Based on my short stint, it was case on fire, rah, 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 rah. And I'm still going to do that. I know Kevin corrected us, but it's still a fun name. That's my favorite name right now.
Ferrar without an E.
Ferrari. And Kevin said he's stealing that, Mike. Should we TM that quickly? Can you get to your guys, your trademark people? Can we trade?
I've already trademarked it, and you have to pay me $20 every time you say that.
It's a whole show thing. It's not you. It's not all about you, man.
Nope, but I got it. I got there first.
I think I came up with that.
I got there first.
Did you come up with it or did I? Can we go back to the tape? What's the tape show? Let's throw the challenge flag.
I don't know who started it. I know at some point someone said Ferrari.
You might have said Ferrari, and I think I said the cooler one, which was Farrar, which is just amazing.
I mean, Farrar is really cool.
That's great thinking.
I'm trademarking Farrar-E.
Okay, go ahead and trademark it for him. Be careful trademarking stuff. You get attacked by Jaden Daniels. We're going to talk about this LSU story coming up here in just a moment. Top stories today. I got a lot to unpack. That segment's going to take a while because this is really entertaining stuff. It's the whole show. What more can you expect from the greatest thing that's ever happened to radio? 11:50 the time. Maybe that's overshooting it. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
All championship dreams start with training camp. KFKA shines a spotlight on the Roosevelt Rough Riders live tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by A-Plus Heating and AC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
So I was wrong on one thing. We do have an update on the Ring of Honor for CSU. We also have an update on their Hall of Fame, and I absolutely love when colleges get together, create their College Hall of Fame, and I'm going to get to that in the second hour of the show. Before we do that, Lemons Heating and Cooling. Mike, we might be ready for the cool-off here. I don't see a lot of 90-pluses on the horizon, so knocking on wood that maybe we're getting out of that. That would be fantastic. But maybe your air conditioner went through it this year. Maybe we had some serious issues. It wasn't running right, spitting out that cool air like you need. There's a reason you're seeing Lemons Heating and Cooling trucks everywhere. That's because people are getting the good word. They fix your stuff. They fixed mine twice. They dealt with my heater situation and my AC. They worked out a perfect time to make it all work for me. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Michael, buckle up, buddy, because top stories of the day, we got Browns updates, quarterback. We got WNBA non-updates. If you catch my meaning, we'll get to that.
When you say the Browns, you might as well just call them football dumpster fire.
The Cleveland Browns. They have a quarterback decision to be made, at least for one weekend. I want to talk about that. Also, this LSU story is getting weirder as we've been doing the show here today. This is odd to me. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Also, a legend of the NBA is hanging him up officially. I didn't think this guy would ever retire. So we'll talk about that coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, more on the Pac-12. We'll take a glance at it. And a really cool Ram-to-Ram connection happened yesterday. And we're going to talk about that later on, too. So keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.